Hello and welcome to the ASP podcast. The American Security Project is a non-partisan think tank looking into strategic national security issues. Today we are joined by ASP CEO Brigadier General Stephen Cheney and ASP Adjunct Fellow August Cole. We're talking about American competitiveness. August, you've recently wrote a big white paper on this issue. What did you find out?
Well, Paul, we found that American competitiveness is slipping and that the implications for U.S. national security are serious, both in the near term and in the long term. For example, we've seen already that you have the World Economic Forum ranks the U.S. seventh in its most recent survey, down from first as recently as 2009. That kind of a rapid decline is a result of many things, not only including our political climate.
But we've seen the economy growing, jobs being created. Haven't we solved this?
It would be great if we had, but we're talking about such big structural issues here with very serious implications that will take much more than the kind of solutions or even cyclical changes we've seen in the economy. We need to see big changes like cooperation in Congress to tackle immigration, to tackle crumbling infrastructure, everything from the national debt, even looking at even our healthcare system.
And Steve, why is this a national security issue?
You know, Paul, when you look at our reputation worldwide, it's undoubtedly slipping. And certainly current events, just in the last couple of days, you look at China and Russia, who harbor this fugitive Snowden, and they're literally laughing at us. And part of the reason, if you look at Les Gelb's article last weekend in the New York Times, he talks about the fact that our prestige, our competitiveness is slipping, and we're losing in the world markets. So as a consequence of this, our defense industrial base is slipping, our infrastructure is crumbling, we have problems with healthcare, immigration, education, a variety of issues that all come back to us on the security side of the house, where it is making us less secure, and there's no doubt about it.
So, August, what can we do about this issue?
Well, I think one of the most important things you can do from an analytical perspective is not only to look at what makes America strong, but what makes it weak. And by taking an all-encompassing look at some of these strategic liabilities, if you will, you paint this picture that America's competitiveness is slipping. And so that means taking a look at an issue like infrastructure. For example, you have options right now to create a sort of infrastructure bank that could be a federal private partnership because of low interest rates. Creating something like that that would allow us to repair crumbling bridges, improve telecom networks within the U.S., which are really not up to a global standard, would be a great start. Immigration, allowing more skilled immigrants to come in and do much of the high-tech work that really drives the U.S. economy's growth in the world markets. I think those are some of the early and more achievable things that can be done in the near term. But I think a lot of this comes down as much to attitude as to any specific policy. It's about taking a comprehensive look at the things we want our political system to produce, which is a society that's strong, stable, and a country that is able to project power, you know, for the greater good.
And Steve, what are we seeing, what the DoD is doing about this?
Well, Paul, thanks for bringing it back to the defense side of the house. When America has always been ahead of the curve in terms of R&D and competitiveness, certainly in military technology. Look at stealth technology. Look at cyber. Look at how we started the nuclear industry. GPS all started from the defense perspective. But our defense industrial base now is slipping, and it's slipping because we don't provide them with the corporate tax relief that they need. We don't make the research and development investment into those aspects that are going to protect our defense industrial base. So what is DoD doing? They're trying to keep us going in that side of the house. But when you look at sequestration, what's happening with the budget, all of that is starting to be cut. And as a consequence, it's hurting our defense industrial base, and it's hurting our DoD.
And Steve, you wrote this morning, commenting on the Economist article that came out this week, talking about the worst things about sequestration, that it sort of preserves the bad and cuts the good.
Well, it's the axe to everything is the problem. You can't take the cuts. It's 10% across the board. So programs that are actually good are being cut. Programs that are actually bad are being cut less. It doesn't leave the Department of Defense with any discrimination as to which ones to cut and which ones not to cut. So it's indiscriminate in that regard, and it hurts us. So, and of course, right now, it doesn't look like sequestration is going to be rolled back. So as a consequence of that, it's just going to get worse. So we've got to fix this problem.
And what about the general debt issue here in the US. It seems to be masked right now by the deficit being forecast to be reduced over this next fiscal year. Is this still a problem?
It's been really interesting to see the pessimism and optimism seesaw go back and forth. And I think, though, even there has been some reassuring news that there is good progress here if the economy is going to be doing better than as it looks like it might, we still have a very big structural issue that has to be addressed through political compromise, through cutting spending where possible. So as Steve said, not to undercut or erode the military, but really realizing, though, at the same time that we are going to have to make do with a smaller defense budget. We are going to be making cuts to entitlement programs, but they should be intelligent cuts, not the kind of cuts that come from sequestration.
And Steve, we've written here at ASP in the past about this new energy economy coming up with all this LNG and the fracking issues. Why aren't we taking advantage of this?
Well, Paul, it's a great question. Again, relating it to DOD, and you look back at some of the efforts that they've had, certainly within the Department of the Navy on alternative fuels, using solar energy in the field, which are all wonderful programs, which are going to get cut under sequestration, plus that there are some in Congress who feel that they aren't worth the investment that we put into them. And it all lends back to this euphoria over fracking and getting natural gas and abundance of it and oil. And we've solved the energy problem, which is absolutely untrue. It's just given us a little bit of breathing room here so that we can hopefully invest in these other technologies, get off of fossil fuels, and recognize that we can do that without any dependence on fossil fuels, certainly without a dependence on oil in the Middle East. So it all plays into the energy side of the house as well, and we need to become energy independent, but those who think we're going to be energy independent because of fracking are wrong.
I think something Steve said is really important, that many of the hurdles and the variety of issues that are undercutting American competitiveness, many of the solutions, I should say, aren't technological problems that have to be overcome. We know how to fix technological issues around green power.
Sure.
We know the policy changes that are necessary for the defense industrial base or even in immigration. But it's the political will, it's the ability to make compromise not a liability anymore in Washington that is going to start to have to happen if we want to see the kind of progress that makes a meaningful change for America.
And in a way, that's why ASP was founded.
Well, Paul, absolutely. To bring facts to life about these issues, certainly energy security, climate security, nuclear security are all issues upon which ASP was founded. So we would factually study those, present the facts to the public and to the Hill, let them make the rational decisions. And I'm not so sure what's going on Capitol Hill is rational these days. And it's certainly when we take it from a national security perspective. And that's why we built our board with a healthy proportion of retired military guys who feel very strongly about these issues from a national security perspective. And hopefully they can take that to Capitol Hill, let senators and congressmen understand that how strong we feel about it, that it is a national security issue, and we'll fix it.
Well, August, Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure, Paul.
Thank you.